Yes, I know. I got the same shirt on. I realized that when we started the video. I was like, oh, should have wore a different shirt today. Show these people I have more than one shirt. Yes. Amen. Well, what an awesome, great day this is. We're very excited. And this is a very historic day for our church. 17 years ago, I received a phone call from our, at that time, our realtor, real estate agent, wasn't coming to me and said, hey, Pastor Tim, there's some property that's coming into the city limits I want to show you. So me and a few of the other leaders came up and stood on this property for the first time and looked out over the valley and sensed from the Lord that God was really leading us and guiding us into purchasing this property in faith and believing for God to provide. And over the next 2 years, we constructed this beautiful building, and God has used this building to bless so many people's lives. And during that time, you know, we were doing our best. We really were praying that we would not have to borrow any money, but we wound up with a $1.5 million mortgage, which really isn't terrible, considering it was a $6.5 million project. So we felt really good about that. We felt like God was in it. And in the last 15 years, God has just provided all along the way. We've never missed a payment, not even close. God has blessed us. And today is a significant day because we are believing today that we're going to cross the finish line and we're going to completely pay off our debt. And so a little bit later, we're going to receive a special offering just to do that. But I want to remind us in these next few moments that in the end, it's not about just this one offering or paying off a debt. That's important. But what's more important than any of that is the kind of people we are becoming. Because the church really is not a building. Amen? It's not a building. And the reality is God never has needed our money. And so whenever we give in any kind of offering, it's never because God is in need. It's because we need to give. We need to be generous and we need to trust the Lord. So in the end, it's not really about an offering. It's not even about a building. Our very first Sunday in this building, we declared that this church is not about a building, that the building is a tool, that buildings get built and eventually buildings fall down or they get tore down. So it can never be about the building, but because those things are temporary, but the things that have happened over the last 15 years in this building, the changed lives, the young people that have been taught the word of God, the baptisms that have taken place, those are the things that are going to live for all eternity. Right? And just last week at a wedding, now I wasn't there, Pastor Roger told me the story, but at Kayla and Ben's wedding, Ben's best man got up to share, you know, like they do during the wedding reception. He got up to share a toast and to talk about, you know, his best friend, the groom. And as he was sharing, he shared his testimony about how he had come to Christ. And the way this young man had come to Christ was 6.5 years ago, and we knew none of this. 6.5 years ago, this young man, the best man, gave his life to Jesus Christ at a Bethel Church Christmas Eve service. And we had no idea. And we find this out 6.5 years later that this young man, he attended church somewhere else, but that was the night that he said Christ came into his life and his life was forever changed. And this is a young man that's now preparing to go into the ministry. So yeah, just think about the things that we know about that God has done are wonderful enough, but think of all the things we have no idea, the changed lives and what God has done in this place. So this church is really what it's all about. And it's about who we're becoming. And so my main point this morning is this, and this really has, it has to do with money, but it's way more than money. The Christian life is a life of service and generosity. It's a lifestyle. It's who we're becoming. It's a life of giving. It's a life of serving, a life of service and generosity. Sadly, there's a segment in our society that's attempting to paint Christians as power-hungry, closed-minded, judgmental haters. And while it's true there are some Christians who are doing a very poor job of reflecting Jesus, the fact remains that by and large, followers of Jesus Christ are the most kind, caring, giving people in the entire world. That's the reality. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt writes this: "Surveys have long shown that religious believers in the United States are happier, healthier, longer lived, and more generous to charity and to each other than our secular people. Religious believers give more money than secular folk do to secular charities and to their neighbors. They give more of their time too and of their blood." Now, you might think to yourself, well, this is just a Christian bragging about being a Christian. No, actually, Jonathan Haidt, he's a social psychologist, and he is a self-proclaimed atheist. But he recognizes the truth of who Christians are. So while none of us give our lives completely in the radical example that Jesus set forth for us, it's always our goal. Our goal is to continually become more and more like Christ and to be people who serve and to give and give. One example, a beautiful example, comes from a note that I received just about 3 weeks ago. And I'm not going to give this woman's last name. I didn't even ask permission to share this, but she sent this note. Her name is Martha. I don't believe that I've ever met Martha, but she wrote this note, and it has to do with the offering today. "Bethel Assembly of God Church at Vista Point. I have attended your church in the past several times that I was able." So she's only come to church in person a few times. "However, I now enjoy Pastor Tim's services online as I'm 86 years old and unable to attend services. I am sending a small donation to help paying off the loan on the church. I know it's only a drop in the bucket, but I hope it helps. And as they say, every little bit helps. God bless, Martha." And enclosed with this little note was a check for $200. So Martha, if you're watching this morning, God bless you. And thank you for being faithful to the Lord. Yeah. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 2,000 years ago, Paul the apostle wrote this letter to the church in Corinth, commending them for their service and their generosity. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and our first point this morning from this passage is this: service and generosity position us for blessing. Service and generosity, as we serve, as we give, as we're generous, it positions us to be blessed by God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 says this: "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." All right? So sparingly means not very much. It's not a word we use very often. We use it sparingly. I got to say, that just came to me too. That was not even in my notes. So knowing what sparingly means, would you rather be blessed sparingly or generously? Who votes for sparingly? Who votes for generously? Amen. So yeah, the key to that is if we want to be blessed by God generously, then we need to have a generous heart. We need to have a generous spirit. We need to be generous with our lives. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And this is a principle. This principle of sowing and reaping runs throughout the scriptures. In fact, I would say it's one of the meta principles of the gospel, of the kingdom of God, that this is a significant thing in the kingdom, this idea of sowing and reaping. So I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures. It doesn't always have to do with finances, but often it does. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And then Proverbs 22 in verse 8 says, "Whoever sows injustice reaps calamity." All right, so there's this sowing and reaping. James 3:18, "Peacemakers who sow in peace will reap a harvest of righteousness." All right, so this principle, sowing and reaping, and it also applies, according to 2 Corinthians here, to financial generosity. Now, church, we don't give to get. In other words, getting is not our motivation for giving. We don't give to get. But on the other hand, we do give with the confident assurance and belief that God rewards financial faithfulness. He does. He blesses. If you go down a couple of verses in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, "And God is able to bless you abundantly." Everybody say abundantly. Good word. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, "They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever." So it's a trust that God's going to provide. It's a trust in the goodness of God, that God really is good, that God is generous, that it's his desire to bless his people as we're faithful to him. God is good. He is full of abundant blessing. And church, when we get a hold of this, when we get a hold of this truth that God really is good and his desire is to bless us, it just frees us up. I think that one of the things that holds a lot of people back is they don't really trust in the goodness of God. But I want to assure you today, with every fiber of my being, that God is good. God is good. And he blesses. And he provides. And that's his desire for you and me today. God will bless his people abundantly. In fact, if you go clear back into Old Testament times, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, and this has to do with just giving our regular tithes. It says, "Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven." That sounds pretty generous to me. "Throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." Amen. Woo! Yeah, that's the heart of God, to bless and to provide. So service and generosity, this is how we position ourselves to be blessed by God. The second thing I want to say this morning is that service and generosity bring great joy. It's a joyful thing to give, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, "Each of you should give what you've decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Jesus said it this way. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Yeah. You know, if money could buy happiness, there'd be a lot more happy people in our world. The reality is money can never buy happiness. It's being able to do, and it's being able to give joyfully to the Lord. This is what brings joy. Economist Jeffrey Sachs in the World Happiness Report in 2018. How many of you knew there was a World Happiness Report? There is. He writes this: "Income per capita has more than doubled since 1972, while happiness has remained roughly unchanged or has even declined. So while we live in a society that has more abundance, the average person has more than we did 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the reality is people are less happy. They're less happy. And so happiness is not found in what we have, how much we own. Happiness is found in being able to live our lives joyfully before the Lord and be generous people. Amen? It's generosity that brings great, great joy. Gives us a sense of purpose. Psychologist Angela Duckworth writes this: three bricklayers were asked, "What are you doing?" The first said, "I'm laying bricks." The second says, "I'm building a church." The third says, "I'm building the house of God." The first bricklayer had a job. The second has a career. The third has a calling. That's so true. We have a calling, church. Our calling is to make a difference. So service and generosity bring great joy. Thirdly, service and generosity increase our capacity to bless others. Increases our capacity. It's like God just opens up the fire hose as we become more and more generous. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower. So we talked about the importance of sowing. Now we're reminded that it's actually God that gave us the seed to sow to begin with. Right? He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge. These are great words, church. He will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Then you will be enriched in every way, not just financially. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can do what? Keep it for yourself? No, get even more generous. Be even more generous on every occasion. So as our hearts begin to open up before the Lord and we become more and more generous people, it just expands our capacity to be used by God to be a blessing to other people in church. Isn't that how we want to live our lives? Amen. Amen? By the way, I got to be honest with you. I was put to the test even about the offering this morning. This last weekend, I had decided, you know, what I was going to give in the offering today. But I said to the Lord, I was doing a wedding yesterday, and I didn't know if these people were going to give me anything for doing the wedding or how much they were going to give me. But I said, Lord, in addition to what I've already committed to you, whatever I receive from doing this wedding today, I'm going to give that too. It was wonderful until the couple gave me way more than I expected. But too late. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's a joy, isn't it? It's a joy to be able to give. God blesses that. God blesses our serving. He blesses our generosity. And then number four this morning, this is the last point I want to make, is that service and generosity bring glory to God. It brings glory to God. Stinginess, greed, giving grudgingly, these things don't glorify the Lord. But when we serve joyfully, when we give joyfully, when we give generously, it's one way that we glorify Jesus Christ. Man, church, I love glorifying Jesus in our singing. How many of you just loved? I got to say, that second worship song that we did this morning, I had been listening to that song all month in my car. And several times I almost said, Pastor Roger, we got to do this song. We got to do this song. But I just never said it. And this morning I'm that song. What I love the glorious times of worship that we enjoy at church, the beautiful worship music that we enjoy. But church, remember, that's only one way to bring glory to the Lord. Amen? All of our lives, how we conduct ourselves, our relationships, how we use our finances, all of these things should bring glory to Jesus Christ. Our entire lives should be committed to bringing glory to Jesus until he comes back. Right? And so as we're generous and as we give generously and joyfully, it brings glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 12, it says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." In other words, God's the one getting the glory for it. "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ." So as we give generously, as we give joyfully, it's a way that we bring glory back to the Lord, right? It's a way that He is honored. It's a way that we can express our thankfulness to the Lord. Now, church, the ultimate example, of course, of serving, of giving, the ultimate example of everything we're talking about is Jesus Himself. One of the most basic principles of leadership is that a leader should never ask others to do what they're not prepared to do themselves. So Jesus, in everything that He taught us, He lived it. He's the ultimate example of what it means to serve and to give. Everything that we desire for, everything that we long for is found in Jesus. Remember that Jesus, man, He had it pretty good before He came down to this world. Right? Everything that He had, His position in heaven, that He laid aside in order to come into this world and to save us, to redeem us. It's the ultimate example. Can you imagine the night Jesus, that the night that He was arrested earlier in that evening, He washes His disciples' feet. Washes their feet. Think about that. I mean, He created these guys, right? Their very lives belong to Him. And yet, it's not them washing His feet. He's washing their feet, right? He's the ultimate example. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 3, says this. It's not going to be on the screen, so you can just listen carefully. Using Jesus as the ultimate example, Paul wrote, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to His own advantage. Rather, He made Himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross." That's Jesus. And then it goes on to say, "Therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, church, as we follow Jesus' example in laying down our lives, giving sacrificially, serving joyfully, as we do this, boy, we're following a great leader. Following a great leader. And as we are faithful to the Lord in these areas of our lives, including our finances, we trust that God is going to be the one that lifts us up. God is going to be our provider too. Amen? Yeah, that God is going to pour out His blessing upon our lives. Now, when it comes to giving, not all of us have the ability to give the same amount, and that is not what God asks for us. I think of the story from John 6 of the great multitude that were gathered to hear Jesus teaching, and there were 5,000 of them, that's just counting the men, 5,000 of them there, and they were hungry. And Jesus turned to His disciples and said, "What should we give them?" And all they had, remember, was the lunch of a one, you know, boy that was there, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not very much. And it's a reminder to us, church, that when we take what we do have and we put it in the hands of Jesus, Jesus can do great things with it. Amen? Last weekend, we were with our grandkids, and I was relating this story to one of our grandsons, Elias, and we were just talking about this story. And he said, "And Grandpa, don't forget, after everybody ate, there were 12 baskets of food left over." I said, "You're right, Elias. Yeah, this is God. This is what God does." Amen? That God takes what we think we're giving so sacrificially, when we take that little bit that we have and we put it in His hands, God does awesome things with it. He really does. I'm going to ask everybody here, if you just bow your heads with me and close your eyes, and worship team, would you come on up, please? Amen. We're going to just prepare our hearts right now, and in just a moment, we're going to receive this offering, and our ushers are going to come, and we're actually going to physically pass the offering bags. We haven't done that for over a year now, so we're going to actually pass the offering bags this morning. We're going to receive this offering, and we're just asking the Lord. We have approximately $95,000 left to pay off this mortgage, and we're asking God to bless us and to provide, and that as we do our best, we believe that God is going to bless, God is going to provide. Not only for our church, but as you give today, my prayer for you is that God is going to bless you abundantly, that God is going to make up, more than make up, for what you give in this offering. We don't give to get, but we give today trusting that God is able, God is going to provide, God is going to bless. So ushers, come on up to the front, will you? And we're going to just bow our hearts together in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you, just hold your offering up. And I know for some of you, you're giving online. Maybe you're using your phone to give. So you can give online. You can give, you know, through your phone. You can give in the plate, as the bag, rather, it's being passed by today. We also have a kiosk, a giving station out in the foyer with an iPad that you can use to give on. Of course, if you're watching online, you can give online this morning, or you can mail your offering in. I'm going to ask you to just, whatever form you're giving, we just hold it up right now before the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, your blessing today upon your people. God, I pray that you, Lord, will provide for each and every person. I know so many of these people, they're really giving sacrificially today. And God, I pray that you're going to bless them for their generosity, for their generous hearts, Lord. God, that today as we give in this offering, we commit to you, God, that we're going to give generously, but Lord, we're going to also give joyfully. God, this is a celebration today. It's a joy to give. We thank you, Lord. God, that in a world of greed, in a world where everybody's just trying to get as much as they can, God, we thank you, Lord, that the treasures we have in you can't be paid for by any amount of money, Lord. God, that we have all that we need when we have you. And so, Lord, it's a joy to give today. And we pray, God, that you'll bless this offering. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Let's go ahead and receive the offering. Thank you. And as we're giving, let's sing to the Lord. Amen.